Once again, we are back with the conversation. Alexis Noon is here with Shaka Hislop, and it is our absolute pleasure to be joined by Leon Mann, a man from Manland, man of many, many hats, Leon. But of course, how I know you and immediately knew of you once I moved here to the UK was as one of the founders of the Football Blacklist, which is just does so many amazing things in highlighting, you know, the work of just Black journalists and Black footballers as well in sports, which is something that especially this year now we are seeing, I guess we can say, more people paying attention to them. And even though it's a cry that we've been praying for and asking for since the beginning of time, like, notice us, notice the work we're doing, you know, this is something that you definitely have. But just overall, I mean, let's take it back to, of course, what happened in the summer. Of course, it happened in the United States, but we saw that with the George Floyd death, how it just really affected everyone to the point that we couldn't just stick to sports. You know, we've seen how so many of the footballers as well here in the Premier League in the UK have stepped up and lent their voices to the cause. And you definitely are very close to that as well. So how did you take it knowing that this has been something you've been working on and campaigning for ages now?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you for inviting me on to kind of share some thoughts and views. It's great to be with both of you. You know, I'm big fans of both of your work. It's a real honor to be on here. But in terms of what happened last summer, you know, it was the realization of the problems that we've been talking about for many, many years and decades. You know, I know Shaka's work dates right back in terms of his work with Show Race and the Red Card. Myself, I've been working with a campaign called Kick Racism Out of Football, now known as Kick It Out, and I've gone on to put this Football Blacklist together and the Black Collective of Media and Sport around journalism. And these conversations have been ongoing around, right, how do we kind of diversify our industry? How do we ensure we see Black leaders in our industry? And how do we change this dynamic swiftly? And a lot of those conversations were incredibly frustrating because there would be a will in the room, but there would be a lack of action to follow that. So as a result of that, we kept on having lots of conversations with very, very slow progress. But what happened in the summer, it caused the game to stop, to reflect. And actually, as a community, we all stood together and said, no, this is not going to continue anymore. We cannot see our people treated this way. We're not going to have this. We're not going to stand for it. And I think the fact that we were all on lockdown at the time meant that people were very, very focused on this issue. And as a result of that, you know, it feels like we're moving forward in a much more positive direction in terms of the actions. And I'm, you know, privy to being in meetings with the chief executives of leagues and football associations, etc. And it'll only be judged on the actions, of course. But I feel, and I do say this with some kind of caution because of 20 years of working on this, but I feel like we're in a place where we can get some real progress made.
Leon, and as transformative as 2020 has been, I want to talk a little bit about the start, your co-founding of the Blacklist. What was your spark and why, kind of given the social challenges of the last few years, you felt the need to do that, even though, as you already mentioned, it was in, and I'm sure you recognize, would have been in such a frustrating atmosphere to start that with.
Yeah, I mean, the Football Blacklist was born out of, you know, wanting to do something, wanting to have a response that I had control over. So working for Kick It Out, Kick Racism Out of Football, who was a campaigner, was fantastic. Transitioning into a journalist with the BBC, where I was working as a presenter and reporter, was great for me as an individual, but I also had freedom to kind of put some actions in place that I could control and drive myself alongside with my community. So I was, as a campaigner, in meetings with various Black people, but Black people that my friends and family from the Black community would never know of. So when they're talking to me about, oh, Leon, you know, how did you get a job in football? And Leon, why don't we never see any Black representation? I said, well, they're there. There's not many, but they are there. So I thought, well, how do we shine a light on these people to celebrate their contribution, but also show the next generation of young black men and women, listen, you want to be a lawyer in football? You can do it because this person has done it and they're working at this football club. You want to be working in a media department? You want to be a doctor? You want to do all these kinds of jobs? You can do it because these people have come before you. They are the pioneers that we should be celebrating in a similar way to how we celebrate our pioneering black players in every single position. We should also celebrate these people as a way of opening the door to the next generation. Now, of course, that only works if that comes together with opportunity, because I can go into the community and shout about, look, you know, get involved in football. It's brilliant to work here. But ultimately, if people arrive at a door that doesn't open, then they'll just turn around and they'll disappear into other industries and just kind of have a relationship with football where they watch it on the TV or go to games. So that's the bit that I think we need to work on, you know, in terms of where are the opportunities, you know, how much work the game is doing to attract and retain and develop people who bring a different diversity to the game. And also not to see it as a charitable act. No, you know, we're all in the jobs that we're doing because we've worked really hard to get to this point and we're pretty good at what we do, right? That's the core principle of it. So actually, this is a business case. To make our businesses better, we need them to be more diverse. And I believe that people are now beginning to understand that.
And you mentioned there, and rather quickly, I think you point to the diversity of jobs within sport, which I think many in our community don't recognize. When we think about black people involved in football, you think players, sprinkling of coaches, maybe down in at the youth level, a couple of physios. But with the blacklist, you talk about how many of the other professions that we are underrepresented in, be it lawyers or accountants or any of the other professionals who make this industry tick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, because you know, we need to see black people in every single position of the game. We need to see that, and we haven't seen that. You know, I've got jotted down on a piece of paper in front of me right now the name Ben Robinson. Now, Ben Robinson's name won't be familiar to many football fans, but he has been the owner and chairman of Burton Albion Football Club. And he is someone actually with American descent, but of black descent. So he's the only black owner that we have ever seen, the only black British owner we have ever seen in British football. Now, why aren't we celebrating him more? Why aren't we telling people more about him? Why did it take me, you know, to have to kind of really look and find him and only know about him in 2018? And I'm working in this area. So if we're going to encourage and raise aspirations in some cases for black people, we need to hold aloft these people. And that's the kind of work that needs to be done. And it needs to be driven by deliberate actions. And that's what's been missing from football's work in this area. It hasn't been driven by these deliberate actions around showing what is achievable and who has achieved things in these areas. And I'm proud that the Football Blacklist has played a role in helping to do that.
And Leon, just taking it back, of course, to last summer now, because like I said, I'll eventually get into two examples that I know one you're definitely, or you were close. So this is something that you've been working on for ages now. And of course, just equality is something I suppose we've all been preaching and hoping for since the beginning of time. This is nothing new. You know, Shaq and I have openly spoken about our own experiences. We've seen even, you know, the likes of Raheem Sterling as well. But something obviously changed last summer when we saw the death of George Floyd. And you can attest to that now, because I know that you've been a very busy man since, because finally you got all these eyes on you. And another product, I suppose, that's come out of that sudden change that we saw is somebody we spoke to last time on this very show, and it was Anton Ferdinand. And that whole case that happened with him and John Terry, that I know you were close to the party there. So what's changed? Why is this time different from all the other times that you've experienced, especially being someone here in the UK? How come it's affected everyone here as well. And they've not just said, okay, that's only America's problem right now.
I think it was the outpouring. I think it was the outpouring that at a time when we were being told you cannot go outside, you should not be outside because of the pandemic, black and white people were outside on the streets in masks, campaigning against the racial inequalities that we see. And people started to look at their own sectors, their own industries. They began to look over their shoulders and go, well, hang on, what relationship do I have with black communities? What relationship does my business have with black people? And I think once people kind of looked at it at the cold light of day, they realized that actually there were problematic relationships here. That actually, when they go to work, they might greet a black security guard. When they go to their canteen, they might greet a black person serving them food. But actually, when they sit in their board meetings, when they sit in their leadership teams, when it comes to making decisions, there are no black people around the table. And I think in the cold light of day, people begin to evaluate, how have I allowed this situation to get to this point? And that's not just applicable to football, that's applicable to the media, it's applicable to every single sector that you can find across different industries. And I think at that point, because of the focus that we had because of the lockdown, people started to have conversations about how we make change. And I've been involved in a number of those kind of different discussions at a very high level in football, and sat on Zoom calls with incredibly influential people that I never thought I would have the ear of, and have spoken to them how I'm speaking to you now. You know, the time to be gentle and polite, well, I will always be polite, I hope, but to be gentle with this messaging is not now. And actually, maybe as campaigners, we have been a little bit too gentle, because actually our job as campaigners is to represent the people who sit outside the rooms, who don't have a voice, who are at the brunt of exclusion, and ensure that those leaders understand the level of urgency needed to move things forward. And also our job as campaigners is to offer solutions. You know, we have to put leaders in a position where they have to say no to us, so that we can then revisit that no when they've made a lack of progress, if that is the case.
And Leon, you wear so many hats. You're involved in this game at so many different levels. What are the next steps for the game? What are the next steps for the footballing community? And what does progress look like?
For me, we have to bring this back into business, because whether you're black or white, you understand business, right? You know, this is a core business objective that has to be applied to every single business that wants to stay relevant in a world that's speaking to global audiences, different people of different backgrounds from all around the world. So how do you run a business? How you run a business is you say, right, what is the mission? What is the objective? Then you've got to sit down, put your plan together and say, right, what is my resource? How much money am I going to put into this to make this change? And then you've got to say, well, who's in charge? Who's the person who, if this doesn't happen, will lose their job? Who is that person? Because that's not happened in football. No one's ever told me that a CEO has lost a job because they have failed to deliver diversity. You know, we've had people lose their jobs because they've said things that are racially offensive, but we've never had people lose jobs because they've failed in terms of delivering this. Now, they would be sacked. They would be removed from their jobs for other business objectives that they don't meet. But for this, for some reason, it's not been met. So we need to make people accountable, whoever that is. And then we've got to have timelines. You know, we've got to have timelines that actually give people the confidence that we are moving towards the progress that we need to see. Those timelines might change, but there will always be an explanation for that. Because any business that kind of is operating out there wouldn't just go, well, we hope it works. And if it works, that's great. And if it doesn't, we'll try something new. They don't operate in that way. So why do we always work around diversity and anti-racism in that way? For me, that's disrespectful, it's unprofessional, and it's not a way we're going to get the progress that we need to see to help those people who are at the brunt of exclusion and don't feel that they can be part of this game unless they're going to be an athlete or unless they're going to be helped by charity work.
And then just touching on the athlete thing as well, because one of the other hats that you do wear is that you are in management, in football management. So footballers, you do manage Yaya Toure. So, and but you're also involved, of course, and speaking to other footballers as well. You don't have to call their names exactly, but how did conversations change? What were their new concerns, fresh concerns? Because I know that you and I touched on this off camera, and I think it kind of took me aback to see just the response and how you were able to tell them, look, it's okay to put up an Instagram post, but you also have to see what changes you need to make in your life if you want everyone else to buy into this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've got to kind of pay tribute to our professional footballers and people up and down the country within the Black community, first and foremost, for, you know, putting themselves out there on the front line, calling for change. You know, just because we are Black doesn't mean we got to solve racism, because that kind of implies that we're the guys who kind of started this. Well, actually, no. When we talk about racism, when we talk about working on diversity, that is about everybody. That is about everybody. That is about everybody working together to solve this big issue that is a real challenge for the game. And, you know, also I want to say thank the Lord for social media, because actually social media was a real game changer, huge game changer, because in the 20 years I've been working in this, when I started 20 years ago, there was no social media. So I would find myself at Kick Racism Out of Football, writing letters, sending off letters to football clubs and to agents to pass on to footballers. In that time, I sent like hundreds and hundreds of letters. And I think there's only one footballer who got back to me. And that's because I put my mobile phone number at the bottom and it managed to get to him. I got a phone call. I'm going to call his name because I have to give him big respect. And I'm not putting a slight on the other footballers because I don't believe they got the letters. But Aaron Bent called me up. I was on Hackney Marshes, which is a very grassroots place to play football, on a Sunday morning. Phone call comes in. I'm like, hello, yeah, this is Darren Bent. You wrote me a letter. How can I help? I was like, oh, okay, who's on the wind up? And you know, to be fair to Bent, he was like on text messages. Nah, let me know. So that was 20 years ago, right? Or 10, 15 years ago. Fast forward to this world of social media, as one former footballer put it to me, there's no place to hide. We can see what you're saying. We can see what you're thinking. All of a sudden, the player who's in the dressing room in Newcastle is seeing what the player who plays for Southampton is thinking. They're on direct messaging. There's a community. And what happened was a bit of a community came together. It's almost like an underground kind of thing. It was like nobody really wanted to be too visible around it, but everybody had something very strong to say. And then there kind of came a period of education where people started asking questions about, well, who speaks for Black players? Who is speaking for us? And who represents us? And actually, how much control and how much can we contribute to that? And, you know, there was a feeling of, gosh, we thought things were kind of being dealt with, you know, but actually, you know, we haven't known the full picture. We've been so focused on playing football that actually we're not sure who represents us and what's happening and who's trying to contact us and our agents are getting back or not getting back. So so it brought people together, and there was a bit of a rumbling of a community, which I think was really positive and powerful. And a good friend of mine, Jason Roberts, who now has got a great job with CONCACAF, of course, you know, was one of the few footballers around that beginning of the time that people were speaking, who was articulating incredibly well the views of Black footballers in a very direct but way that kind of sits well in a boardroom where people were kind of listening to the messaging. So there's been a bit of a journey there. And to your point, Alexis, in terms of where we are now, you know, I think as a community, if we're going to say we want more Black managers, if we're going to say we want more Black directors and all those kind of things, we also have to look around us in our own lives in terms of the decisions we're making. I know myself, in terms of the business that I do, I need to look around and say, well, actually, am I working with Black lawyers? You know, have I made an effort to? And that's not to say every Black person has to work with a Black lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, if you look around your team and you have an absence of Black people yourself, but at the same time, you're saying, we want more Black managers, we want more Black directors, then we have to have some self-reflection in terms of, what decisions we're making in our own lives and how we build a team around us that has diversity. You know, we know there are some very high profile black agents, but it always kind of, you know, baffles me why we don't see many more, particularly when you see the large numbers of black footballers that we have here in the Premier League. So I think there's a moment right now where, you know, we all as people, you know, let's not talk about footballers necessarily, but say as people are kind of looking at our relationships with our community and actually saying, you know, why don't I have a black accountant? You know, why haven't I got a black lawyer? You know, and I think those are healthy questions for us to be asking as part of the processes that we're all going through at the moment.
And as one of those black agents currently working in today's football, and this, in my mind, a changing opinion or changing landscape around black footballers, activism, and commercial support, which you're seeing. And I don't think Raheem Sterling and Marcus Rashford would get the kind of commercial backing they are from their own sponsors now. I don't think a player, I don't think John Barnes would have gotten that playing for Liverpool 30 years ago. How has this moment changed that aspect of the game and your job in managing footballers?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly been a commercial realization that actually, you know, talking to positive social messaging actually is something that the audiences resonate with and feel warm to, and as a result, you know, there's a business element here, might choose to pick up a particular product over another as a result of that. Now, actually, for me, some people might look cynically at that, but for me, that's actually an opportunity, because when I'm watching my television and I'm seeing adverts that have anti-racism messaging, that have diversity across them and have strong black voices involved and central to them, that actually is a positive thing, that I look at my children and I think, wow, they've got something that I absolutely didn't have. You know, when I was growing up, what was the perception of black people that I saw on the television? It certainly wasn't leaders. It certainly wasn't decision makers. It was very much, you're an athlete, you're a musician, you're naturally talented. You know, the kind of the sense of hard work just wasn't something that was kind of promoted. And certainly in terms of seeing, you know, black leaders, you know, of course we had Nelson Mandela, but, you know, it wasn't something that I could see and feel that was necessarily directly achievable growing up as a kid here in the UK. And I think seeing more of that is really important. But actually, you know, in terms of the opportunities for footballers through their social media, the way now that they can reach out. I keep saying this to players. I keep saying, do you know what? For a certain amount of time in your life, because of the talents that you have and the position you've got to, you can pretty much knock on any door you want in this world. You can pretty much write to the Prime Minister, as Marcus Rashford has been showing us, and get some kind of response. And Marcus Rashford, of course, is taking it so much further in terms of the incredible work that he's been doing. And I've always got a sense from footballers that they're maybe kind of a bit overwhelmed by that prospect, by that thought. And I kind of totally understand that, because, you know, I think sometimes we can thrust a lot of pressure on young black men and women to change things. Actually, the politicians and the people we vote into power and the people that are paid huge amounts of money are neglecting to do. So then we say, well, the footballers should do more. Well, actually, the footballers definitely have a role, but actually their bread and butter, the thing that we kind of are paying them to do, is not to change our societies. They're being forced into that. And actually, some of them are rising to the challenge, and we're grateful to them for that. But for me, there's a real opportunity for them to come together around issues. And I've been massively inspired and have had quite a lot of contact with Justin Morrow, in the MLS, you know, what he is achieving alongside some incredible, talented, intelligent, brave black men in the MLS is not getting as much attention as I certainly think it should do. Because I've been involved in I guess playing a role in facilitating some contact between the MLS black players and the black players here in the UK, just to get the conversations going in terms of understanding the different perspectives and understanding the opportunities to come together to do something positive, because ultimately that's what we're talking about. And I'm excited about what's happening in the MLS, and I'm excited about the potential for what could be done for positive change over here in the UK.
I find what you say there very interesting, Leon. To that point, not everybody can be as forthright and as direct as Darren Bent, and I know Darren well. nor can everyone be as articulate and cerebral as Jason Roberts, another player I know well, former teammate of mine. And not everybody can have the commercial appeal and welcome the attention that comes with that space, like Raheem Sterling or Marcus Rashford. But I think it's important that we all recognize our responsibility to our community, that sometimes it takes no more than just showing up and being a voice or being that support in whatever way it may be. It may not be in doing interviews, you may not be banging on doors, whatever else is needed at the time, but just to be there. Just to be there and be counted. I think there's a significant value in that our entire footballing community has to appreciate and recognize and be a part of. All that being said, there is still quite a way for us to go here, I think, in recognizing some of the equality in this game and moving a lot of these societal issues forward. Mm. Now, my challenge here, and I keep asking myself, is where does this go? I mean, at times you just wonder if the momentum is running out. How do we continue to keep this in the headlines, to force this change through when, as I say, sometimes maybe it feels like the wind has stopped blowing in that direction?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the point you make, Shaka, is an excellent one in terms of everybody has a role to play. So actually, you know, we have to identify what our roles are. And understand them and look to the strengths that we have and strategically move forward in that way. For me, you know, I think we have to, as I kind of touched on earlier, move forward in a very business-like way. There has to be true responsibility from the game that is making huge amounts of money from black talent, huge amounts of money. To take responsibility for moving forward here. Now, what they need to do, in my opinion, is to work in collaboration, strong collaboration with black-led organisations, leaders and communities, because that is the only way they will authentically move forward in and around this work. They must do that because, you know, we are asking ultimately a leadership of football that lacks any real representation to move forward on issues that don't impact them on a day-to-day basis. They don't sit at the brunt of exclusion. Their uncles, their aunties, their cousins, their friends don't sit outside of an industry necessarily saying, I can't get in because, look, there's so few people in there. So there has to be responsibility. Now, in terms of where the ideas, the engagement comes from, I think that's where the black community can really drive things. I think that we know where our talent is. We know, you know, how we engage our talent, and we have to be given the resource and opportunity to be able to bring about the life in those ideas to move them forward. For too long, because of a lack of resource, because of a lack of application, because of a lack of care, you know, we've been muddling along trying to work on things without any real resource and just dripping things along, you know, and just enough to make us feel like not giving up. Well, actually, now we need a huge wave of support to move things to the next level. And it's not just about money. It's about the politics around all of this. You know, this is about politics. This is about, okay, are you willing to give up a seat of power to people who are underrepresented? And for you, I just said seat. So that probably reflects my 20 years of frustration. I'm talking about one seat. Yeah. Let's talk about four or five seats around that table. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to say, okay, we're going to vacate four of them seats and we're going to bring in people who will make our business better because they bring diversity. And why does diversity make our business better? Different perspectives, understanding of different audiences, understanding of, you know, how can we have a game in this country that has a third of professional players that are black. And then we look at our leadership and we don't have anybody with any kind of representation from that community. How can it just be Les Ferdinand by himself as the only director of football across 92 professional clubs and Ben Robinson as the only owner? You know, that says to me, football, what you're telling me is you black people go run around, kick a ball. Mm-hmm. We got it on the business side. We got it on the decisions. And you lot, just go work, go run, go entertain us. Mm-hmm. And actually, if people aren't deeply disturbed by that, then I think they need to assess their own life. Mm-hmm. So actually, to move this forward, we need people to be confronted with the brutal truth and then asked, are you going to do these things within this plan to change the dynamic of the game? And let me tell you this, you're not doing it for some charitable act for me or my children or my family. You're doing this because you're going to make your game better. This is a business decision we're asking you to make right now. And then that line in the sand there is for them to cross. And I'm really hopeful, really hopeful, maybe stupidly so, but if I'm not hopeful, then I'll just walk away. And, you know, it's not the time for any of us to walk away right now. It really isn't. That's the time. This is the time to push for this. This is the time to push for this because the leaders are telling me they're listening. And now over the next 6 to 12 months, we will see what actions follow to see if what they're saying, they're going to back up.
Leon couldn't have said it better myself. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much, as always, for your time. Hopefully we do get to catch up in another 6 or 12 months and see exactly the change, you know, that we're all holding out for.
Absolutely. We've got to remain hopeful because it's such a difficult time. And I'm in a massively privileged position compared to many, many people out there. I've got a job that I love. It's in football. We've got big challenges in the game. But, you know, we've got to keep going. We will get this done. And we've got to get it done soon because we can't be losing more talented people and we can't lose the opportunity to do better business. And that's what this is about, better business for football. And we will get it done, 100%.
Leon, I'll double down on what Alexis said. And thank you very much for your time today. But more importantly, thank you for your time and continued efforts behind the scenes to drive the interests of our community forward, to drive equality forward.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks to Leon for speaking so candidly to us. Next week, though, we're going to switch things up a little bit and delve into another sport as Ebony Rainford Brent, the very first black woman to represent England in cricket, will join us and we'll talk about her struggles and victories that she's had in trying to diversify the sport in the UK.